Hey, what's up? This is Steve Cardenas, a.k.a. Rocky the Red Power Ranger, and you are listening to Comics with Normies. Morphin' time.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Comics with Normies. This is the show where I, your host, Jared Albrecht, the Art Sale Artist, share a comic book with a person in my life who is not necessarily a comic books reader or normie, as we call them, to get their outsider's point of view on this hobby that we all love so much. Today's comic is going to be Ghost Rider number 35 from April of 1979. So we're going back a ways into the Ghost Rider lore, number 35 from April 79. And today's guest is Kirby. Kirby, welcome to the show. Kirby's a friend of mine. Kirby, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Kirby.
Kirby, that's a name you should know.
I've been here in the area for a little over a year. And I love to read. I've never been into comic books, ever.
All right. Well, never. The good news is you read them. So that goes hand in hand with your reading abilities.
That's right. A big gardener, also as far as like hobbies go, but I love video games.
Awesome.
Yeah, I do.
Every 5 minutes, Kirby reveals something about herself that makes her more appealing to me. All right. So she's got all the right traits that I look for in a woman. She hates tomatoes. She likes video games. She's ready to survive the zombie apocalypse.
That's right.
So many good things. She's also a good preparer. She prepares well for things. So gardening.
Yeah, I do. We garden like vegetables and stuff like that.
That's cool. You know? All right. So yeah. Another good zombie apocalypse trait to have.
That's right.
When you do read, you said you like to read.
Yeah.
What do you like to read? If you don't mind sharing with
me. Oh, no, not at all. So, I really love like fantasy type, like Harry Potter. Like I love Harry Potter.
Okay.
But I was trying to think of some of the series that I've read lately, but kind of like escape type stuff. I don't know what the genre is necessarily called. And not real.
Not real. I mean, just escapism stuff.
Yeah.
So you like the Harry Potter?
Yes.
There's like. People like the Robert Jordan Wheel of Time stuff. I don't know if you're into that or.
Oh, the Magician King.
Oh, okay.
It was a really good series. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Like that kind of magical based fantasy escape from the realities of the world.
That's right.
That's quite all right. Yes. So, do you have any history with comic books, since that's what we're here to talk about today?
I don't. I actually bought one or two for my daughter. I couldn't even tell you the name of them. They looked cutesy, like she would enjoy them. I myself didn't look at – I looked at the cover and thought this would be great. you know, so I don't – I've never read one myself.
Well, you've read one.
Well, I've read one.
And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. One more reason why Kirby is awesome is I sent her, when she agreed to do the show, I sent her a photo with four different comic books in the photo. I said, go ahead and pick one. And she picked like the most hardcore one with Ghost Rider. I'm trying to remember what else was in there. It was like a Super Friends and a Spider-Woman and something else, like maybe a Superman or something like that. She was like, no, I want the skull that's on fire.
That's
so
right.
She's into it. She's ready to go. so that you haven't ever really read comics except for this one.
Uh-huh.
What about growing up, you know, TV shows, movies, video games, any sort of anything in the comic book world there that you brushed up against?
You know, if He-Man and She-Ra were comics, I watched that when I was really little.
Yes.
In the 80s.
That counts. They did have a good run of He-Man comics, and he still pops up from time to time in comic runs. So, yeah, no, that counts. He-Man and She-Ra is awesome.
That's cool, yeah. And, you know, I really, because I don't have a background in it, I don't know what has been a comic, but, you know, we were big Ninja Turtle fans.
Yeah, that comes from comics. Yeah. Absolutely, Ninja Turtles.
And then, of course, you know, movies. You know, I've seen Batman, Superman, things like that.
But. Done your due diligence on comic book movies. That's good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of like, that's almost a silly question on the show now because, like, the Marvel movies are so popular.
Yeah.
Everybody's seen,
oh, yeah.
You know,
those absolutely. Movies.
So, okay, that's cool. I like that you're into the 80s properties with the He-Mans and the Turtles, and they absolutely were comic book based stuff. So that's cool. All right, so but today we're going to talk about, sorry, I'm flipping it out, Ghost Rider number 35 from Marvel Comics, 1979. Let's take it back to 79! April of 79. This is the part of the show where I ask the guests what they were doing when the comic book came out. Kirby, what were you doing in April of 1979?
I was probably chilling in some ovaries right around then.
Kirby's a little younger than myself and some of our past guests.
I was not born until
83. So. 83? Oh, you're just a total babe lost in the woods. All right. So, 1983. So, she wasn't around. I was going on 3 years old when this came out. So, I wasn't up to a whole lot either. But that's what she was up to, which was nothing in 1979. Okay, now that we know about that, we've gotten to know Kirby a little bit, we'll take our first podcast promo break. On the other side of this, we will really get into Ghost Rider number 35, April 1979. We'll find out what our normie, Kirby, has to say about it. We'll see you back on the other side of this break.
Gotham City is overcome by villainy on the comic page from the likes of the Joker, the Riddler, and the Penguin. As they run rampant, only one man has the courage, the gall, and the skills to face the Silver Age.
Hi, I'm J. David Weider, but you can call me Dave. If you haven't guessed, this is an overly dramatic promo for my show, The Dave Cave, a Batman podcast looking at the tales of the dynamic duo from the Silver Age. Come back with me to a time when Batman was less grim, Robin was content to wear hot pants, and the villains didn't rip their own faces off. Each episode will examine a tale from the pages of comics such as Batman, Detective Comics, The Brave and the Bold, and World's Finest Comics. It's all the bat action, bat adventure, and bat puns that you can handle on The Dave Cave, available at thedavecavepodcast.com, iTunes, or the podcatcher of your choice. The Dave Cave Batman Podcast, because in the Silver Age, there were no limits.
And we are back. We are here with Kirby, and we are here with Ghost Rider, number 35, from April of 1979. This is the most fun part of the show for everyone, where our normie gets to give us the basic storyline, what happened in Ghost Rider number 35. Take it away, Kirby.
Basically, Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze, is riding along in the Midwest, and he suddenly morphs, or if that's the term, into Ghost Rider, and is kind of questioning, why is this happening now? Mm-hmm. And then he comes upon Death Rider, and Death Rider challenges him to 3 races, and the last being for his own life. And, there's death, there's survival, and then he cheats death.
He cheats death.
That's right.
So that's what you got out of Ghost Rider 35, which is pretty accurate, actually. Yeah. It's an interesting issue. I was telling Kirby before we started recording, too. It's an interesting issue in that it's really a very standalone. It's exactly what she said it is. He's riding along. Death shows up in the guise of another motorcycler person who looks not as cool as Ghost Rider. Kind of looks like Ghost Rider without the fire.
Yeah.
Lame.
And green.
and green tinted.
Yes.
I don't know. So anyway, it's kind of one of those weird one-shot stories. And while I'm at it, let me just give credits for this issue. Ghost Rider 35 was written by Jim Starlin, and he did the layouts for it. And this was an interesting. It says, the finished art was done by Steve Lealoha and friends. So apparently a lot of people had their hands in the art of this book. Tom Orzechowski did the lettering. Petra Goldberg did the coloring. And the editor was Roger Stern. And then this was the time where Jim Shooter was editor-in-chief at Marvel. That's just for all the super nerds out there that want to keep tabs on everything about this issue. Now, Kirby already gave us a good summary. Ghost Rider meets Death Rider in the desert. He challenges him in 3 different races. Now, you might have to help me out. Maybe we have to help each other out. The first race was for like some random dude.
It was actually another biker.
Yes, that's right. He was a biker and he'd been like broke down or something.
Yeah.
They were like, the first, if Death beats Ghost Rider to him, then the guy just dies,
yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And who won that race?
Death.
Death did. Yeah, that dude totally died.
Yes, he did.
Because Death beat Ghost Rider to it. And then in the second race, I'm flipping through the pages, but I think it was a little girl.
Yep, as a little girl who was lost.
Little girl who was lost, and they raced her, for her life. Her life?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Who won that one? I honestly don't remember.
Ghost Rider won that one.
It comes in at the last second, ramping off that rock.
Yeah.
It barely saves her. And then they say, okay, the third race, just like you said in the summary, was for Ghost Rider's own life.
Yes.
And they race, and Ghost Rider, I guess, did he cheat?
So, he has this epiphany and realizes, oh, you know, he said anything goes, so he knew he could cheat. And it looks like he knocked him off the
rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ghost Rider was still kind of being a hero in the first couple races and trying to play it straight. But then he realized, yeah, if Death is going to cheat, then he can cheat.
Mm-hmm.
So he literally cheats Death and does as they're, I think they're driving along a very narrow stretch of rock over a deep chasm. And Ghost Rider basically just kicks him off.
Yeah.
Like, see you later, alligator. And wins the day. So, like I said, it's a very odd, it's a standalone story that doesn't have a lot of major plot. There's no big real character development. They're not really moving an overall story forward. But you did a good job on that. So this is kind of be a weird question, but I ask it on every episode. Given what you read in the story, what do you think happened before this issue? Like, what led up to this moment? Did you pick up anything out of that?
Well, it kind of sounds like Ghost Rider may have been this great motorcycle rider.
Correct.
He became a stuntman.
Also correct.
And somewhere along the way, he was cursed.
Yes, you pretty much got it.
Yeah.
I probably should have asked you this up front, but have you seen any of the Ghost Rider movies with Nicolas Cage?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay.
I've only heard negative Ghost Rider.
This is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby.
Negative Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
Negative Ghost. So she only knows the term Ghost Rider from Top Gun.
That's
okay.
Right.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, you're absolutely right. He was a great motorcycle rider and a stunt rider, and he did make a deal with the devil, which is his curse, and that's how he is who he is. So they did a better job than I thought prepping the reader for this issue. Now, the next question I usually say is, what do you think is going to happen after this issue? Usually the issues are part of a grander story arc, so the guests can kind of guess what's going to happen next in the story. What do you think? Because this was kind of a standalone. What do you think?
Well, reading the last couple of, or the last page, it seems like maybe, you know, he's cheated Death, but Death always wins. So I'm thinking maybe he's going to be constantly approached by Death and kind of fighting his way through that.
That's a pretty good guess, because I don't know. I have only read a little bit of Ghost Rider in my life, so I honestly couldn't tell you what's going to happen next, but that's a darn fine guess.
I do know that he's going to Denver.
Okay, we know where he's headed. He's headed to Denver. So we got that much.
Yeah.
All right. Well done. Well done on that. I'm sorry, backing up on my own questions. All right. What do you think the powers and the abilities of Ghost Rider are?
So Ghost Rider, it sounds like Johnny Blaze morphs into Ghost Rider when either someone around him or he is in trouble. And I don't know what happens after that, really, because this story is mostly about these races with the devil, or with Death. And then, of course, there's Death, who can kill you.
Yeah. So
that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, they didn't reveal a lot of Ghost Rider's other powers. He's, you know, he's pretty strong. He's really, what's the word I'm looking for? Durable. Like, he's hard as heck to kill a guy.
Okay.
He's got Hellfire. I think he used Hellfire at one point.
That's right. I forgot about that. He did.
I think he did. Yeah, he used Hellfire once that he can use. He's got like flaming chains. And then my favorite power of his, which he did not use in this, is his penance stare. That's right. I gave her big eyes just now. Where he stares into your soul and makes you feel the pain that you've caused others.
Oh.
And so, yeah, it's like if you're a bad dude, you don't want that penance stare.
Okay.
But yeah, did not use it.
That's right.
So the only other character in the book really was Death Racer. And I think you pinned the tail on the donkey there. It looks like his power is
killing people.
Yeah.
He's got a really super powerful bike.
And he's got a souped up bike just like Ghost Rider. All right. What did you have a favorite moment in the story?
I did. It's kind of morbid, but it's when Richie Petrillo, the biker that Death killed, mm-hmm. when he died.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I guess I expected it to be a little bit more gory than what it was, and I liked the way they showed him aging forward.
What is happening to me?
Oh, yeah, they like the little art effect where he just like grew old and died. Like,
yeah. I mean, and just completely skeletal.
Yeah.
So I actually liked that. I thought that was pretty cool.
All right. It was unexpected. All right. She picked Ghost Rider, so of course she would like the darkest part of the Ghost Rider issue. Nothing wrong with that. Here's a fun one. Did anything in this issue leave you scratching your head, like, what is this even about? What's going on? Was there anything, like, really confusing?
Well, so there's two things I wrote down.
Okay. Wrote down. She came prepared to this show, ladies and gentlemen.
And I think you alluded to it for me, but why Death said he looked forward to meeting Ghost Rider, that Death is the reason Johnny Blaze rides the motorcycle. Like, that confused me, only because I'd never, you know, I didn't know what the history was. And then you alluded to the fact that he made a deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other was when they were in race two, or getting ready to do race two for the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Death said that it was a cross country trip. Then he said that the goal was 4 miles away.
Well, crossed a little bit of country.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, you know, and I'm just kind of, I'm real detail oriented, which is why I picked up on that stuff. But occasionally there'd be like a little snippet that would pop up that would kind of throw me off. I'm like, where is this coming from? I was trying to look for one.
Okay, you can take your time too, because we can always edit down. When Joe will let it down if we need to.
Like this right here. It's on page 26.
Mm-hmm.
Like these three, I'm going, what is this? Is it him? Is it Ghost Rider getting his bike? Or
yeah, there's like, it's okay. On page 26 is like a rapid fire series of panels. One says reunion, and it shows like the little girl.
I think so.
And then, but in the background, there's like a man and a woman. Like
I think that's her parents.
Her parents.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Death Rider says something cryptic, and then in the next panel says resolution, and then there's like Ghost Rider getting on his bike, and then Death Racer says something more cryptic, and then looks like Ghost Rider starts his bike up, and it says revival. And I don't know what kind of artsy thing Starlin was going for there. I'm with you on that. I'm just as confused.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's almost like we're both normies on this. Because, like I said, I have read very little Ghost Rider. Most of the Ghost Rider I read was when he kind of resurged in the 90s.
Mm.
So this vintage Ghost Rider stuff is kind of new ground for me. So I've enjoyed reading it as well.
Okay.
I like this part where he says, eat hellfire in really cool font.
Yeah.
And shoots the bike like blam. And you know what it does to Death Racer?
Nothing.
So there's that. I agree with you. That is a weird part.
Yeah.
That definitely would leave me scratching my head as well. I think, unless you have any more story notes,
I don't think so.
We will move on to the art then.
Okay.
And all art starts with the cover, especially back in the 70s. Covers were designed to grab the attention of potential buyers because they'd be on those spinner racks at the... I know you were born in the 80s, so you might not know about it. But there's these spinner racks at the grocery store or on the newsstand, so... There's a lot of competition to grab your attention with a cover back then in 1979. So what effect did the cover have on you? You picked it out of Super Friends and Superman and Spider-Woman. So you basically picked it based on cover. So what was it that appealed to you about it?
Well, it was not something that I mean, you've heard of Superman, Spider-Man, you know, all those. So it stuck out as something I didn't know anything about.
Okay.
But also, I really liked the sky, the purple sky and the skull. I like the way those stick out.
Yes.
I did like that.
Very cool. Yes. I probably should do our audience a service here and describe the cover. It has a purple night sky with a star field on it. It is very attractive to the eye. And then they overlay that with some green lettering. Green and purple always go together. Just ask the Hulk or the Joker, they'll tell you. And then they have basically Ghost Rider and Death Racer sort of launching off of a cliff, you know, sort of both ramping off of it, obviously in some kind of a race, and it says Death Race on the cover. So it is fairly catching. And then as you mentioned, there's a skull in the background, like in the sky, sort of faded in the background to give it an interesting effect. Whether that's Death Racer's skull or Ghost Rider's, I'm not really sure. Does it matter? They're both skulls. But it does have a neat look to it. Mm-hmm. So that is the cover. Did you have anything about the cover you didn't like?
I think they could have done something better with the color of the bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's nice detail in there, but like on Death Rider, the pinkish of his suit blends way too much with that orange bike or orangey red or whatever.
Yeah, they completely colored Ghost Rider's bike in red and Ghost... Is it Death Racer? Death Racer or Death Rider, whatever his name is.
Or Death.
Death, his bike is completely colored in orange. They have, like Kirby said, they have really good ink work, but they didn't put a ton of effort into the color detail. I think they could have colored them maybe more accurately as they did in the story, and it might have played a little better.
Yeah.
But it comes out okay.
It almost looks like a green, like a bloody booger.
Bloody booger. Now I have the title of the next comic I'm going to write. Look out for a new episode of Bloody Booger coming your way. I learned so much doing this show. I get ideas. So Bloody Booger's coming back. All right. The interior art, all the stuff that's on the inside, that was Jim Starlin did all the layouts, and then Steve Lealoha and friends. I don't know what that means. I don't know how many people were involved in this. Finished the art. Did a lot of finishing of the art, probably did all the inking, that kind of stuff. So, interior art, what are your feelings on it? As you were reading through it, did you think, oh, this is really good, or this is really bad, or this just gets the job done?
Well, you know,
what'd you think?
The bigger pictures are nicer because they're sharper.
Mm-hmm.
When you get over to these smaller pictures, they're not as clean.
Mm-hmm.
Almost look maybe like... an amateur may have done them. I don't want that to sound terrible, but I mean, it's just kind of blurry.
Yes, I will tell you this. This is a little bit atypical of a comic. Like I said, it's normally in a comic, you'll have the guy who wrote it, the guy who drew it, and then the guy who inked it. Boom, boom, boom. Here we have the guy who wrote it, did some layout work, which means he kind of sketched out the panels. And then Steve Lealoha and friends, whoever those guys are, came back and finished the drawings, tightened up the inks and all that. So you get like you're saying, a wide variety of styles in here. There's not a real, I mean, this, like you said, this stuff on page two, you got a lot of headshots and they're very crisp and clean. And then where he morphs into Ghost Rider is pretty cool. But then in some of your smaller panels, it looks like kind of we just had to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, we just had to quick get it done. And you can kind of see where maybe different people, it's almost like two different styles in different panels.
You really can see where they've had different, there were different hands in here just by the different, the way they drew.
Yeah, you can tell it's a little harsh. Like if you go to page 11, there's a lot of real heavy ink work done around the a guy and his glasses and his hair. And then you can jump forward to other pages where there's... the ink's not as heavy, it's more crisp, like the bigger panel on page 16 where they're racing each other. It's more of a crisp look. So I think, yeah, we had a lot of hands in the art pie on this one, and so it's a little bit hodgepodgey, but at least it got the job done.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, you know, talking about the different hands, on page 15, the first picture of the little girl... when I saw the picture, I thought, that's got to be at least a teenager or an adult.
Yeah, yes. She's looking like a grown woman.
Yeah, and then you turn to 17, and it's clearly a little girl. They don't look anything alike. So I'm wondering if two different people drew those faces, too.
Maybe on something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the one panel leads you to believe she's at least in her teens. And then the girl's obviously six or something like that.
Yeah.
So, good point. Did you have a favorite page? Did you have one that stood out to you?
I have two. So this one on page 16, the big picture. I really like it. It's good. Crisp and there's nice details. And you get a feel for what they're, the purpose here.
Yeah, it's basically just Ghost Rider and Death Rider or Death Racer or whatever his name is. We'll remember eventually. They're just racing and neck and neck, and it's a great panel.
Yeah. And then the other one I really like, even though... it's the smaller panels. is this one.
Page 3.
Oh, yeah, page 3.
Okay.
So I love the way, like, he moves with the scene.
Oh, okay. This is the scene where he's sitting there and the bad weather's rolling in. Mm-hmm. It's 4 panels, smaller panels, and he's basically, a thunderstorm's kind of closing in on him. He's just turned into the Ghost Rider. He doesn't even know why. And yeah, so it does do a good job of showing the clouds moving in and the weather changing. Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good sequential art storytelling right there.
Yep.
Which is what comics is all about. Well, cool.
Yep.
So now we've talked story. We have talked art. Let's see what's left. That's the advertisements. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times people come into these comics and they find these cool ads. Oh, remember this or remember that. Now, you were still a few years, or you're 4 years out.
Yeah.
So did any of the ads resonate for you at all? Did you see anything that you're like, oh, I remember this? Or did you have a favorite ad? Or what do you think?
Well, you know, the one that kind of made me laugh is on the cover, on the inside cover, where it's sell beautiful greeting cards for cash, cash or prizes, and you could win like a pottery wheel or a hair dryer.
Now, see, I love that you're experiencing this and experiencing it, the joy of it for the first time, because these are very common in comic book ads. They were always trying to like pimp kids out to sell like greeting cards,
so
or seeds, or subscriptions to Grit magazine.
There's a seed one on the back.
And there you go. There's a seed one on the back. So you dig how they were trying to, you know, build a little child labor workforce.
Yes, it cracked me up.
All right, looking at great cash and prizes on the inside cover.
Yeah, and then
if you went out there and sold cards, sold your butt off for cards, you could win any of these prizes. Which one?
Oh, gosh.
Appeals to you. I'm going to try and figure it out.
I don't know. I mean, they've got the AC/DC cassette recorder that is so tempting.
It is. I feel drawn to the scuba boat kit. Seems like it could be a good time.
Yeah,
but there's model airplanes, guitars, every record players, skateboards, remote control cars, slot cars, bow and arrow. That's it. So get a bow and arrow and start shooting it randomly in your neighborhood. You start screaming at your top of your lungs, I sold cards for this, and shoot arrows throughout your neighborhood.
That's so funny.
So, all right, she likes those cash and prizes ads. And this one had a double dose, like you said, on the inside front cover and on the back cover.
Yes.
The seeds.
Yes.
Anything else for ads?
They had one on the inside on page 4 that was like Fun Factory. I thought this was cute. Like, this is something that would totally draw my daughter in because it's gimmicks and pranks and things like that. So, I thought that was pretty cool.
She's referring to, as you old time comic readers probably have already figured out, The whole Fun Factory ads are the whole page of those, you know, bunch of tiny little pictures of little gimmicks like snapping gum and joy buzzers, mm-hmm, and whoopee cushions and talking teeth and spy cameras and just you know what I'm talking about. Old school comic book fans, what I'm talking about. These show up a lot. Some people call them the flea market ads because it kind of feels like you're going through a flea market.
Yeah, well, you read some of them and it's like, that would never pass today. Like black soap, it's a harmless black substance. Yeah. I don't see that passing today.
All right, good luck with that.
My absolute favorite ad in here, though, is on page 21. It is the full-color poster of the Coneheads.
It is as if you have seized me at the base of my snarklies.
Yes! They are selling... There's so much to love about this ad. Old-school fans will kind of remember these. These are the full-color poster... spectaculars, okay, where you could buy full color posters, whatever was popular at the time in 1979. So, of course, you've got I think Farrah Fawcett's probably on there somewhere.
Cheryl Ladd,
you know, that kind of stuff. And then, like, out of nowhere, the Coneheads from Saturday Night Live. I mean, they're at peak popularity right here in 1979. The other thing I love about this full color poster spectacular ad is the ad is printed in black and white. If you're going to sell full-color posters, I mean, I get you're trying to save a little on advertising, but come on.
That's right.
You're selling full-color posters in black and white.
That's pretty funny.
Those are good. They have, like, a lot of times there's a mix in the posters of, like, you know, beautiful 70s women, and then there's usually, like, a couple of teen heartthrob guys. I guess that's who these – I don't even know who these guys are. Giant McNichols?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Who are the McNichols? I don't even remember the McNichols. No. And if I don't remember them, I know you don't remember them.
No.
But you, like, this one's got a lot of, it's basically a lot of women, Coneheads, Kiss, and then these McNichols. I don't remember the McNichols. But yeah, usually they'll have, like, you know, one of the teen heartthrob guys on there. But no, they went all ladies and Coneheads for this particular.
Very interesting.
And of course, Kiss, but that's almost obligatory in the late 70s. All right, that pretty much wraps up everything about the book. We've talked cover, we've talked interior art, we've talked story, we've talked advertisements and extras. You've done a great job, Kirby. As we come back from this podcast promo break, we'll find out what our overall thoughts were on her first foray into the wonderful world of comic books. We'll be right back.
Coming soon from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Working together, we saved the planet. And I believe that if we stayed together as a team, we would be a force that could truly work for the ideals of peace and justice.
Every episode.
My name is Jean. I'm a Martian.
Every adventure.
Okay, you guys are so slow.
Every hero.
Whatever you think you're doing, if you present a threat to the world, the Justice League will take you down.
Cindy and Chris Franklin bring you
JLU Cast.
Whatever the future holds, we'll make those choices ourselves.
Don't say you don't love me.
I'll never say that.
Covering the complete animated run of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
And the adventure continues.
Their strength in numbers.
What? Like a bunch of super friends?
More like a Justice League.
Welcome back from the break. I hope you enjoyed the promo for whatever it was that Joe chose to put in there. He always picks good stuff, so check that show out. All right, this is the final part of the show where we get the wrap-up, the verdict, if you will. Kirby, here we have Ghost Rider, number 35 from 1979. On a scale of 1 to 10, how entertaining was this to you?
I think about a 5.
About a 5, the middle of the road. Lowest score we've ever received on comics with Normies. Not by much, though. We had a 6 one time. No, that's a fair assessment. You know, if you've never done this before and you jump in on a weird-ass story like this, that's fine. So you give it a 5, an average score.
I just think that if I maybe had read earlier editions, you know, maybe had a little bit more understanding of what was going on, I, you know, it would have been a little bit better for me. But, you know,
that's fair.
It wasn't awful.
Okay, well, good. We don't want it to be awful. But some, I'll be honest with you, some of the comics I picked, when Debbie on episode 1, she went through a scene, man. It was rough. But she made it out there. So. Now, this isn't in the script, so you couldn't have possibly prepared for this.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, all right, you just read issue 35. If I pulled out of my bag of tricks here, which I don't have, it's an invisible bag. If I pulled out 36, scale of 1 to 10, how interested would you be to read the next issue?
Oh, gosh.
Then just be honest, it's fine. You're not going to hurt anybody. I didn't write it, so it's...
I mean, I wouldn't go out and buy it. Mm-hmm. If someone brought me 36, I'd probably flip through it. And just because I do kind of want to see what happens next.
Okay, good.
And maybe get a better idea of why he's been cursed, or, you know, why he chose this path or whatever.
Okay.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be totally opposed to it.
All right, that sounds fair. And that sort of helps us gauge how well the comic was written, because a good comic should make you want to read the next issue. And as we said, this one's a little weak in that department because it's a very encapsulated sort of one-off story. It doesn't leave you with any big mystery threads. Mm-hmm. Some of the other comics we've done on the show, Comics with Normies, have left on some big mystery threads, so people have been more excited. So it's not really on you,
well,
per se.
And I did read a couple of the where fans have wrote in.
About, oh, right, the letters page?
Yeah, I did. I read a couple of those and kind of got a better understanding of, you know, like from a fan's perspective. And so that was kind of part of the reason why I said, yeah, you know, I would consider, consider it.
Awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed at least the experience of reading this one book to be on the show at least the scale of a 5.
Yeah.
You didn't waste your time. And I'm glad that you got something out of it. You kind of learned a little bit about into the world of our nerdery. that it is. And that will bring us to the end of the show. If you want to debate Kirby on this and on your feelings of Ghost Rider, you can always contact us on Twitter at Normies Podcast. or on Facebook, we have the Comics with Normies page. So feel free to drop us a comment, drop us a message. Do you agree with Kirby? Do you think she's just insane? Are you the biggest Ghost Rider fan ever and she's made you mad? Anything like that. And as always, if you want to catch up with me personally, I'm on Twitter at Yard Sale Artist. I'm on Facebook at Yard Sale Artist. If you want to catch me on any of my other shows, you can catch me at the Long Box Crusade with Pat Sampson, my brother Jason, and my other brother Delvin. You can catch me on the Crusade Chronicles, which is a spinoff show of that. You can catch me on the Babylon 5 podcast right here on the White Rock Entertainment Network. You can catch me on the Quantum Leap podcast right here on the White Rock Entertainment Network. You can catch me on the James Bond podcast right here on the White Rock Entertainment. Don't worry, I'll give this whole thing again at the end, so it'll be fun. Come find us. Come drop us a comment. Say hi. And you know what? Just keep reading comics, and I'll keep finding people who don't. Kirby, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you guys next time. Bye. This episode's outro music is a song called Traffic Jam. This music and all other sound engineering for Comics with Normies is provided by musical genius Joe November. Be sure to check Joe out on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud at Joseflin99. That's Joseflin99. You won't regret it. As a reminder, if you'd like to chat more, you can check me out at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter or Yard Sale Artist on Facebook. And if you'd like to hear more of my jibber jabber, you can catch me on the White Rocket Entertainment Network at whiterocket.podbean.com, where we have a Babylon 5 show and I have a Quantum Leap show. You can also check me out on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast. That's our James Bond show at secretpodcast.podbean.com, or it's also on iTunes. Or you can check me out over on The Long Box Crusade at www.longboxcrusade.com. Also available on iTunes and Google Play. So I'm out and about. Come find me.